First Corinthians chapter 9. Let us read this passage responsively, this whole chapter responsively. First Corinthians chapter 9. Welcome, First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Do we not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die, than that any man should make my glorying void. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Together, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means which I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Lord bless the reading of His perfect word. We are now studying the book of 1 Corinthians, and last week we began our study on 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we covered somewhere until verse 18. But I'd like to just do a little revision, and especially touch on some things which I had not had time to cover last week, especially from verses 12 and then also from verses 15 to 18. Do remember the whole context of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 has to do with food, eating food offered to idols. There was a group of people in the Corinthian church who were eating food offered to idols. They think themselves as being very strong. They think themselves as being very knowledgeable. And their reasoning for why they are permitted to eat food offered to idols is this. You see, food is actually really nothing. And then, moreover, all these idols of the world, are they not made of wood, hay, and stubble? Are they not inferior to the one living and true God? So therefore, it should be safe for us to eat this food, no problem. And so they use that as a justification to eat food offered to idols, and this became very important for them, because if you understood Roman culture in those days, you will realize that eating food offered to idols is something that is very common, especially if you have to do business. If you want to do business or if you have a government official, remember, temples in those days are very much part of the Roman system. They worship their gods and their goddesses in temples. And so many of them, especially if they are involved with the government or they are influential businessmen, they will have to attend all these functions in the temples and they will have to eat food offered to idols. And so these people, they attend. They think themselves as strong and they say that, oh, while we are down there, we eat. It's nothing wrong. Because of their actions, those who are weak or young in the faith, they became very stumbled. Hey, is it okay to eat food offered to idols? And so Paul had to correct this particular situation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul dealt with the first reason why this should not be done, because you are stumbling the young believers. You think that you are strong, and indeed, in some sense it is true that food really is nothing, in the sense of daily eating of food, really you can just eat whatever the Lord has given to you. And not only just that, but it is true that the Lord is more powerful than any other thing that is in this world. However, you need to consider the conscience of your weaker brethren, of your young brethren, and you also need to be very careful that you should not lead them to sin. And so, while it is true that, you know, when a person eat food that has been offered to idols, in some sense, nothing will happen to him now. He's not saying that you can eat food offered to idols. There are a lot of commentaries that will say you cannot eat food offered to you can eat food offered to idols. Later on, in the later passages in 1 Corinthians, Paul would point out that it is wrong. Okay, he will explain that it is wrong altogether. Now, let's say even if you can eat food offered unto idols, okay, let's say you are given this opportunity to eat, shouldn't you consider the weaker brethren, that their conscience, that you should not stumble them and that you should not lead them to sin? And so, you should be therefore very careful of your actions. And every single thing that you do, every single thing that you say, can have an impact on the people around you. Will they stumble the people around you? Will they lead them to sin? You who are so-called, or you think that you are strong brethren, you need to think very carefully. Is this action of eating food offered to idols something that is correct? What happens if you lead these people to sin? What happens if you lead these people to not only eat food offered to idols, but also lead them into idolatry? So you better think very carefully what you are doing, whether it is right. Yes, in some sense, a Christian may have certain liberties. But this liberty is not to lead others to sin. And so, that is the first reason that is given in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul would use himself as an example. I am an apostle. And as an apostle, I have every right. I have every right to take certain things from you. In the Old Testament, the priests, the Levites, they live off the offerings that were given to the temple, that they were offered by the people. the tithes and the offering. They leave off all these things. The whole idea behind it is, because they leave off these tithes and offerings, therefore there is no need for them to concentrate in, or no need for them to focus upon secular work, or to be distracted by, for example, farming, taking care of cattle, taking care of sheep, finding means and ways to provide for their own food. Because all these things have already been provided for in the tithes and offerings of the people. So therefore, the priests and the Levites, they can concentrate in learning and studying God's word and then teaching God's word to the people. The apostles and Apostle Paul himself, because based upon the fact that he ministered spiritual things to the people, he have every right to demand the carnal things, which the physical things of the people, so that he can be supported in all his needs. The principle is, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. This doth God take care for oxen, or say altogether for our sake. For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that treasureth in hope should be partaker of this hope. In other words, as what is written in other portions of the scripture, a laborer is worthy of his hire. And so since Paul ministered very diligently in spiritual things, so therefore when we talk about in terms of the physical things, yes, he should deserve to be supported. And he could, as the apostle, easily demand and insist upon his rights. Yet what we know of the apostle Paul when he first founded the Corinthian church was, he did not insist on his rights. If you look at Acts chapter 18, he in fact went to tent making. Now, this tent making is due to the special extraordinary circumstances of the Corinthian church in those days. The Corinthian church was already very poor. Now, if Paul had insisted that they would support him in all his physical needs, in terms of giving him, let's say, like a salary, and supporting him by giving him all kinds of food, the church is already burdened to support itself. It already cannot support itself. And now, he as an apostle still demand all these physical things from them. Will not the gospel therefore be hindered? Will not the gospel work therefore be facing obstacles? And that is exactly what we read in verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we, referring to Paul as the apostle and the other apostles as well as the fellow laborers together with him, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, even though we have the right to demand, but we suffer all things. Now, this word suffer talks about suffering in silence. Now, this does not mean that when Paul suffers, he does not talk. Right? I mean, he has to talk every day, right? He has to preach God's word, he has to teach, he has to open his mouth, right? So what do we mean by suffering in silence down here? Well, it would simply mean that he will carry on his work, though he may face suffering in his life, but he suffers all these things without complaining, without murmuring. Why do we do this? Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And the word hinder here is a very picture-like kind of description. Those of you who have gone through national service before, you would have built trenches. You all know what is a trench? The young ones, you know what is a trench? Okay, Matthew Teng, you know what is a trench? It's a path that is below the ground level. So what are the uses of trenches? Okay, one of the uses of trenches is that you can hide inside the trench and hopefully the trench will offer some protection from the ammunition of the enemy, right? That's one of the uses of it. But another use of a trench is this. Remember, in those days, it's not tanks and airplanes. So the function of the trenches will be very much different. You imagine this is a road, and then I'm going to have a trench down here. Okay, of course, you can build a whole series of trenches. And if you have an enemy that is marching in this direction, What do you think the trash will do? The trash will either stop the enemy or make it very difficult for the enemy to advance, isn't it? Well, that is the picture down here. Right, I have this. Now, if I have insisted on my rights as an apostle, what I'm doing is as good as digging a trench, and then the gospel cannot advance. What is the point of me taking all these physical things from the people, and in the end, the church cannot even support itself, and then the church die? So because of this, I am willing to give up all these rights and liberties I have as the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right to take all these things? Yes, I can take. But if I take these things at the expense of God's work, is it not therefore evil? Is it not therefore evil? So what we have here in the life of the apostle Paul is really a life of self-denial. A life of self-denial. And so, we are talking about the team, right? Church team, occupy till I come. Oh, he's gone. He's kept already. Okay, occupy till I come, right? Now, if you want to really occupy till the Lord Jesus Christ come, and then you are given a particular calling from the Lord, if you are asked to give out certain rights and liberties, you must be prepared to do so in order for Christ's work to progress. Now, you notice that in verse 12, he talks about we, right? Referring to himself and his co-laborers and also to the other apostles. But when it comes to verse 15 onwards, you realize that he uses I, right? But I, so this is his personal conviction. But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. In other words, I'm not writing all these things so that you pity me and then you give me more money. Right? I don't need all these things from you. The Lord has given me enough. And I thank the Lord that He is true to His promise. So long as I seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto me. So I'm not asking more from you. Neither am I asking you to enrich my pockets. God forbid that I should ask of the congregation to line up my pockets. That's not what I'm here for. My conviction is this. I would rather die then any man should make my glorying void. Now, what did he mean by this? Verse 16 will explain. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It is necessary for me to preach the gospel because that is my call. That is my call. And then if there is therefore any obstacle in the way that will prevent me from fulfilling this commission, I will make sure that I will give up all these kind of liberties and rights. I would rather die than to take these few extra dollars, these few extra cents, these few extra rights, these few extra liberties. I would rather die than to take all these things and then in the end I fail in my calling. That's what he is saying. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Now, what do he mean by reward? Later on, we will see. Okay, he's not talking about monetary reward. Right? Neither is he talking about physical wages. Right? Even though the word reward here is the word for wages. Now, what is this reward? Later we will see. But if against my will, now even if I'm not so willing, but then a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. The word dispensation is where we get the word for house steward. Right? So Paul is using the picture whereby I am a house steward of, I'm a steward of a house. I'm called to be a chief butler. The master is God himself. And he asked me to look after this house well. I must make sure that I do my job well. It is something that is given to me. And he entrusted it to me. Now, if that is true, and this is the burden that is laid upon me, how therefore can I not do it? Here, therefore, what Paul is trying to say is this. Yes, indeed, I am doing this willingly. But not only just willingly, not only because I'm joyful to do it, but it's also of compulsion. when students wanted to apply for the pastor's college that was led by Spurgeon, you'd be very surprised that Spurgeon often discouraged people to go into the pastor's college. You would think that he opened the pastor's college and then he would encourage people to go in. But very often, what Spurgeon would do was to discourage people from going in, and then he would ask all sorts of questions. And why did he ask all sorts of questions? He explained in his book, Lectures to My Students. He would say this, that if you want to know whether a person is truly called into ministry, it must be because of one reason, and that he cannot help it but to go in. I cannot help it but to go in. In other words, even if I want to do something else, but the Lord has laid this, has given me no choice, I just have to go and I just have to preach God's word. And if the person feels that in his life he has no other he has other choices, but he chooses this because this is the best choice, then perhaps this person is really not called. It's not one of the choices and then I choose this. It should be there is no choice. That is the route which God has given to me. And so therefore I go. Just examining the testimony which I wrote last time. And I realized that when in the beginning of, you know, when in the beginning when the Lord called me, or, you know, as time goes by, your theology and your understanding of the Lord grows. In the beginning, I seem to have a little hazy thinking that it is as though, you know, between teaching there is one choice, and between the Lord's, between going to preach God's word, there is another choice, and going to preach God's word was the best choice, and so go this particular route. So thank God the Lord purposely made me go through 4 years of teaching, because if I have gone in the beginning, I would have this kind of thoughts. It's wrong. Wrong kind of thinking. It must be no choice, and therefore you go. And so because Paul had this kind of thinking, so therefore in verse 18, he's able to say, what then is my reward? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I make sure that I preach the gospel of Christ without charge. Not only am I unwilling to take anything from you, but I want to make sure that when I do it freely, because I'm not after your money. It's just my great joy to fulfill this particular calling which God has given it to me. And that by itself will be my reward. The commendation of the Lord that I have fulfilled what he has committed to me well. That's it. Now, what then is the application for all of us here? Because not everyone here is called to be in the full-time ministry of the word, isn't it? Of course, those who are called in the full-time ministry of the word, the application should be very clear. And please never, never, ever ask for more money. Many, many times we emphasize in the study of 1 Corinthians, let this be emphasized again. Never, never ask for more money. Okay, let this be a very clear principle here in Tabernacle. If anyone who is called to the full-time ministry dare to ask any amount besides having extraordinary circumstances, immediately the person leave the ministry. Okay, let that be very clear. Because he or she has already disqualified. You simply trust in the Lord. And then, if not just that, but in the ministry, let it be that you are always wanting to give so that the gospel work can be advanced. Like, never ever give the picture to the congregation of whoever people that you're serving is as though you're very poor and then you're going to die. You mean what? The Lord shortcharged you. Actually, very often in the work of the ministry, of course, there are stories where missionaries really suffered, pastors really suffered, true, granted. But most of the time, if you read those accounts, you will realize that actually those that serve the Lord not only have enough, they have sometimes more than enough. So please don't try and act as though very poor, as though everything tax and rag, so that people will keep giving to you. But rather have this attitude that I would rather give up certain things. Yes, what is due unto me, but I'd rather give it up and rather give right, to the people so that they can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Application to everyone is this now. We demand this from the full-time ministers of the word. But this same principle actually also applies to us. How do you know which area you are supposed to serve. What sometimes people say, how do I know God has called me to do this? How do I know God has called me to do that? Now, when you study God's word and then you walk closely to the Lord, step by step, the Lord will lay the burden in your heart into certain areas of service for Him. And then you will know, this is the area which the Lord has called me to serve. It will be a compulsion upon you, so that even though, so that you will know that, oh, I have no choice, I have to serve this. This is the particular area which God has called me to serve, whether is it the PA, whether is it teaching, whether is it in the music ministry, God will lay that burden upon the heart, so that in times whereby you feel as though, I'm not, you know, I really feel like quitting. I remember Reverend Quek say he felt like quitting. But then in the end, compulsion. This is what the Lord has called. Cannot, just cannot, no choice. And then when you really understand that there is no choice, and this is what has been committed to you, then what will follow is that, right, what we pray will be the way you respond will be, you will just be exactly like the Apostle Paul. In order for me to fulfill this particular stewardship which the Lord has committed to me, if it means that I have to give up certain rights and liberties so that Christ's work can be advanced, I will do so. I will do so. Whether be it sleep, whether be it money, whether be it leisure time, well, I will do so. This includes students. Students, you know, your calling is that to be is to study, isn't it? So you play certain computer games. Is it wrong to play certain computer games? Yes. I mean, some of course is wrong. Some, well, perfectly good fun, but if these are going to distract you from fulfilling your true calling as students, and if this is also going to set a bad example to others around you, don't you think you should give those things up? Young men and young people, right? Same for young adults. Adults, I'm sure you also know what are the things that can prevent you from doing the work of Christ. So yes, learn from the example of the Apostle Paul. And as we learned last week, right, this is what I've taken during one of the classes I attended in FEBC. Can't remember whether it's Dr. Koo or Reverend Toh. I still cannot find the source. But anyway, this is what it said. Be programmed to serve instantly and cheerfully. Right, that should be how we should approach everything. And so, bringing back to the whole context of food offered to idols now. If this certain act can, you know, if this eating of food offered to idols, right, let's say, right, it is okay, it's a liberty you can enjoy. Later on, Paul will say, though, this is not even right in the first place. But let's say even granted it's a liberty you can enjoy, surely if it causes the work of Christ, the gospel of Christ to be hindered, surely you rather give it up, right? But I will lose all my business contacts. But what would the people in the government high up think about me? Surely what the Lord has called you to do, the stewardship of Christ that's been laid upon you, is greater than all these things, isn't it? Shouldn't you give it up? That is what Paul is saying. And so look at verse 19. Right? Where Paul is going to emphasize this whole spirit of self-denial and servanthood. Look at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, when he say I'm free from all men, he's trying to say he's a free man. He's not a slave at all. He's a Roman citizen, right? That's what Paul is. He's a free man. Yet in some sense, I have made myself servant. I've made myself a slave unto all. that I might gain the more. Right? I'd rather be a slave to all men, to serve them the things of the gospel, to help them grow in their knowledge of the scriptures, so that in terms of God's work, I may gain the more. Now, some translations in verse 19, they translate this way, that I might gain more men. It is permissible in the Greek language, but I would submit to you that the King James translators here got it correct. Because it's not just the gaining of more men, but really advancing in the work of Christ. That is what Paul is trying to say. That I gain the more. And so, that is why he can write verses 20, 21, and 22. When it comes to the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. Right? To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. So the Jews and those that are under the law. Right? The Jews. The Jews, they would often subject themselves to the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament scripture. Now, as a Christian, as one that is a Christian living under the dispensation of the local church, there is no necessity for Paul to keep the ceremonial laws of the Jews. We have covered before in Acts one particular incident whereby Paul subjected himself to paying for the offerings of the people and also shaving his head, right, and to fulfill the completion of a vow. That particular act he took it is to prove that, look, the very gospel I'm teaching is not contrary to the law of Moses. That was why he did it. There is another particular incident whereby it involves Timothy. Now, Timothy, as we know, have Jewish heritage. And so, Paul, in order for Timothy to not be hindered in ministering among the Jews, Paul asked Timothy to circumcise. Now, time for questions. Okay, Hong Hao, where are you? Okay, Hong Hao is here today. Well, Po Hao is still not here. Okay, never mind. So Hong Hao will answer. Okay, Hong Hao. Timothy circumcised, right? We know that, huh? In another incident where it involves Titus, Titus was not asked to circumcise. Why? Why double standards? And so, shouldn't I become like a Jew? The Jew circumcised, right? So based upon this principle, Titus should become a Jew, right? So if he want to talk to a Jew, he might as well. I mean, if I circumcise, right, I can talk to both Gentiles and Jews, right? Correct, no? So why don't he circumcise? There is no need, but then shouldn't, if he circumcised, isn't it easier for him to talk to the Jews? You all know the story of William Chalmers Burns, right? I've mentioned before, William Chalmers Burns. What did William Chalmers Burns do when he wanted to minister among the Chinese? Initially, he wore like a European, and then he realized that he wore like a European, the people didn't want to talk to him very much. And so in the end, he decided to dress like a Chinese. He wore a pigtail, he wore Chinese clothes, and straight away, once he did that, he managed to gain a good audience with the Chinese because now he became a Chinese among the Chinese. So why don't Titus circumcise? So he can go in easily, because you know that if you're not circumcised, you cannot enter into the synagogue. You cannot enter the synagogue, cannot enter into the temple. Okay, Desmond. Desmond laugh at you, you see. Desmond snickering down there. Okay, Desmond. But this is actually a very important and critical question to understand this particular passage. Otherwise, you can misapply this particular passage. The reason why Titus was not permitted by Paul to circumcise was this. at the point of time, there was this Galatian heresy that was going on, whereby there were people, the Judaizers, they were teaching that in order to get salvation, it is necessary for one to be circumcised. Otherwise, there is no salvation for anyone, including the Gentiles. So they were forcing the Gentiles to circumcise. Now, if Titus had actually circumcised, what kind of message would that send? It would be saying that what the Judaizers are preaching is correct, isn't it? And that is a false gospel. The true gospel is not faith plus works equals salvation. The true gospel is you have true faith in Christ, and then that will be salvation, and your life will be manifested in good works. And so Paul stamped his authority with regards to the issue involving Titus. Titus, no, you are a Gentile. Please do not circumcise. Because if you circumcise, you are telling the whole world that in order to find salvation, you need to not only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you also need to circumcise. And so therefore, no circumcision. In other words, when we talk about this passage, as unto the Jews, I became as a Jew. For those that are under the law, as under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. That means like those who are Gentiles, who are outside the law, outside the ceremonial law, I become like them. It's not saying that, no, when you, it's not saying that you fit into a certain culture and then you compromise the word of God. That is not what Paul is teaching. Some people would take this particular passage and then they would say, oh, in that case, when we go in and minister among different cultures, we must go and learn their different cultures and then we will become like them. And even in their various superstitions, even in their various practices, even if it contradicts the word of God, never mind. And then when it comes to God's word, let us change God's word or let us change the gospel here and there so that it suits the culture of the people. So if the people do not know, like in their culture there is no lamb in the land, but they have only pigs in the land, and then you tell them about the Lamb of God, they don't understand. So change God's word. Behold the pig of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, of course, I'm using as a very obvious example for you to understand. They will do anything to fit into the culture, even if it means compromising the word of God. Now, that is not what Paul is trying to teach. What Paul is trying to teach here is simply this. And this is where verse 22, I feel, is very critical. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. We have already discussed all means do not mean all means. All means here would refer to means that doesn't contradict the word of God. Means that are found in the sphere of the truth of God's word. Weak here, of course, would refer to those that are spiritually weak, those who are young in the faith. And what Paul is therefore saying here is this. To those that are young in faith, to those who are still weak in their understanding of God, I would condescend down to their level and minister unto them. I would not act as though I am somebody. I would make sure I conduct myself in a humble fashion. I would be like a servant unto them. I would humble myself before them. To the Jews, yes, if there are certain Jewish cultures that doesn't contradict the word of God, by all means, if I am called to minister among the Jews, I must make sure that I minister like that of a Jew. If I'm called to go among the Chinese, just like what William Chalmers Burns has done, he will minister as a person living among the Chinese. He will humble himself down and to live like them. You go to a certain church, every church, they will have particular practices. Every church will have a particular culture. So long as that particular culture and so long as that particular practices do not contradict the word of God, you humbly submit. For example, in some churches in the world, it is demanded for ladies to wear a head covering. Right? So, ladies, when you go to those churches, you go there, "Aiya, why need to wear a head covering? But why we wear the head covering? No lah, go in, you want me to wear a head covering? No, I insist, no head covering, I just have long hair enough." So I go in, and I sit there, and then I sing my songs there. "You are going to disturb the peace of the place. Just wear the head covering. It's nothing against..." Does God say you cannot wear head covering? Can? At most you feel a little uncomfortable. Doesn't fit the trend of the times. Anyone of you here wear head covering? Yes? No? Doesn't fit the trend of the times. But nothing wrong to wear. So if it's demanded, just wear and just go. Same for anyone who is called to serve in, for example, another area. For example, I am now serving here. My first church was True Life Bible Presbyterian Church. Now, if I serve in True Life Bible Presbyterian, now I come to Tabernacle BP Church. Can I come to Tabernacle BP Church and then say, "Oh, this is the way we do it in True Life BP Church. Number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, number 10. And then insist, "You follow all these things, otherwise I will not serve in Tabernacle BP Church." I think very soon all of you will say, please go. Right? Of course, if there are certain things that contradict the word of God, we should, of course, there is a need to politely and courteously, right, bring out the truth, right, so that things may be made known. But if it's nothing that is, if the practice and the traditions are not contrary to the word of God, then one must be humble to accept. Preacher James Chen is here. Preacher James Chen used to minister in Kenya, and I think he's still thinking of going to Kenya, right? I think he's pretty sure about it. Now, you go to Kenya. Now, we Chinese, we think we eat a lot, right? You'll be surprised that the Kenyans can eat more. There is something in Kenya called the swallow ship, right? You remember that term, James, swallow ship? Did they use the term when you were there? Swallow ship, huh? Swallow ship in the slum area. So when I went there, I thought that last time, you know, Chinese would eat quite a lot. But when I go there, I was wrong. It seems like if you go into the slum area and then you serve and then you're a missionary there, you better prepare to eat a lot. Because what they will prepare to you, their culture is that if you come from afar and then you serve there, they will prepare a lot of food for you. And so I was given this whole plate about the size of this this stand here. Okay, and then they prepared, you know, they were very nice to me. They didn't give me ugali. Ugali is the common food, right? Well, they gave me beans and beef and potatoes, no? Wow, but a lot of beans, a lot of what? So I think it must have cost them quite a lot. And the culture is, if they give you it, you better finish every drop of it. Every drop of it, you better finish. And then another thing is, tell you a secret, I don't really like beans. They gave me a lot of beans. So if you go there and then you want to minister the gospel there, "Sorry lah, I don't like beans. Can I don't eat beans? And then I cannot eat so much. I can just, this part I put away and then, you know, just eat the beef. I like beef, so okay, I choose beef. I choose beef. Only the beef, okay? And the potatoes, kantan, I also like. The beans, set aside. Put one side, don't eat." The people are going to say, "Wow, why is this? This person, don't he know that you have to, it is basic courtesy to eat up everything. This is 3 months, 4 months of our pay, you know, and then here, he don't want to eat. He come as a missionary on fire, and then he want to serve among us, and then he don't want to eat. No, you have to eat." And so I had to eat everything. And after I eat everything and then drink of the tea, and then so happened that day, the Lord purposely sent one fly to go into my tea and then come out. You know, in Singapore, we fly go in. We very scared. We throw away the tea, right? Well, they want the fuel to bring a fly go in, and the fly somehow, thank God, at least it didn't didn't swim inside, it still can fly out. Good. But you saw it in front of my eyes. No? I think James by now immune to me, but for me, first time I saw, wow, okay, la, just eat. You have to eat. And then after you eat finish, is it, wow, thank you very much, please have some more. Another half of the plate. Well, after that, so full, no? That's why now I can understand why FEBC, they force us to eat every drop of it. If you don't eat, if you go to Kenyan and you don't behave like a Kenyan, you're not willing to humble yourself to in all these kind of things, you don't expect them to listen to you. Why should they? True? Same for students who come overseas to study in FEBC in Singapore. They are given the food. And sometimes all these African brothers, they come and then, last time, sometimes Mrs. Toh will cook and then there will be seafood and then the prawn will be there. For them, quite a number of them have never seen prawns before. Unless they live at certain areas like where there are prawns. Otherwise, majority of them haven't seen the prawns before. Now, to us, we see prawn very normal, right? Every day we see prawn, right? And some of us, our favorite is prawn meat, isn't it? Well, very nice to eat. You give us prawn, the bigger, the better. The bigger, the head, the better. Well, for them, they see even the small prawn. What kind of strange creature is this? I've never seen before in the entire life of it. But they come here, they still have to eat. They humble themselves to eat. Don't like, also eat. So some of them, initially they suffer, but after that, they learn. And I know some of them, in the end, even grow to like prawn crackers very much. Maybe not the prawn, but the prawn crackers, because they cannot see the prawn, it's a cracker, so they like it. This whole concept of servitude, servanthood, right, is the key down here. And so, very important, some of you here sometimes go for mission trips. When you all go for your mission trip, and then when the host gives you your food, and then your host expect you to behave in a certain way, right, please humble yourself. Okay? First condition of anybody who wants to go for mission trip, make sure you eat up everything. No choice of food like in Singapore. In Singapore, you can say, okay, never mind. You go there, eat up everything, okay? Everything. You humble yourself. And whatever is proper courtesy in the place, you better follow. And if you go there and serve even longer, let's say in a more permanent basis, you better follow. And some of you here, maybe next time you call full time and then you are asked to maybe go and serve in another place besides Tabernacle. Please don't go to another place besides Tabernacle and then you say, oh, that is how we work in Tabernacle. Well, this is not how we work here. And then go in and then you create all kinds of trouble in a particular place and then people ask you to leave. Don't ever do that. Okay? The right and proper way is that when you go to a particular place, so long as it doesn't contradict the word of God, right, you must learn to humble yourself and serve as a slave among them. And only when you do so, then will people be prepared to hear you and to accept you there. Because first thing people would want to see of a person is, are you first willing to be a servant of all? If you can't, you cannot. For the sake of the advancement of gospel, that is what Paul did. And so here in verse 23, and this I do, why? Because of the gospel's sake, that I may be able to, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Right? I might be a participant of the blessings of the gospel together with you. I want you to share in the various blessings that you can find in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Now, verse 24 to verse 27, he will go on to talk about another thing. Giving up liberties, having self-control in one life in order to ensure that the gospel of Jesus Christ goes on forward. Because we know that certain things that we do in our life can stop us from being an effective witness, isn't it? So you look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So here the picture is that of an athletics race. So run that ye may obtain. All right, so when a person trains for a race, in order to obtain that particular prize, he will make sure that he will do all things in his training to make sure that he will win the prize, isn't it? Because of all the runners, only one will win. Now, of course, when we talk about a Christian race, it is different. It's not that, oh, so many people down here in Tabernacle PPC, only one can go to heaven. Right? That is not the case. But nevertheless, what Paul is trying to say here is this. Just like in the effort, just like how an athlete will put in his effort in order to win the race, so with regards to the Christian race, we should also put in the same amount of effort, if not more, isn't it? They wish every man that strive for the mastery, right, that agonize in order to be accomplished in a particular race, is temperate, has self-control in all things. You look at an athlete, you look at a sportsman. When an athlete and a sportsman wants to win a race, he must discipline himself in certain things, isn't it? For example, training schedule. When everybody is sleeping, he will get up and he will train. And when everybody is working late night hours, he will not. He will be there sleeping. He has a very disciplined schedule. Same with regards to the food that he eats, isn't it? We can choose anything that we want to eat. But for the sportsman, he will be very careful with the nutrition. True? Is Joshua here? Oh, Joshua is not here. Who here plays soccer? Matthew Mattathias. Does your coach teach you to be very careful with your food? Yes, right? What does he ask you to avoid? What kind of junk food? You, potato chips? Can eat? Cannot, huh? You like potato chips? You see? He cannot eat. Too bad for him. Right? Potato chips, he cannot eat. Otherwise, when he comes to the... If he eats and then he becomes unfit, he's not able to play in a soccer match. He'll be useless for the team. Same down here. Right? Now, all these things, right? For example, Mattathias, when he does not eat potato chips, he does it because he wants to win the soccer competition together with his team. Right? Same for all the athletes. When they do so, they want to obtain a corruptible crown. Right? Something that can corrupt. But how about for us? For us, our desire is an incorruptible crown. Isn't it? We are looking for something far greater than the corruptible things in this world. We are looking forward to heaven itself. So if this is true with regards to the physical things of the world, what more with regards to the Christian race? Shouldn't we all the more discipline ourselves? And so therefore, if there are certain things that hinder our Christian walk, if certain liberties hinder our Christian walk and our Christian witness, let us be prepared to give it up. So therefore I run. Not as one that is uncertain. And then so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now the second illustration that is used down here will be that of a boxer. What Paul is saying down here is when I box, I'm not doing shadow boxing. Shadow boxing, you box the air. Well, that will be most ineffective. But make sure that when I box, every one of my strokes will hit the target. I don't box in vain. So therefore, what do? I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. The word subjection here is where we get the word for bond slave. In other words, I do all my best to ensure that my body is a servant to me. Because I want to serve the Lord, right? So I make sure that my body is a servant to me in order to serve the Lord. But in the world, it's oftentimes the opposite, isn't it? How many of us are servants to our bodies? Wow, my body is craving for ice cream. The fruit kind, ice one. Just like what is eaten yesterday at the Shumarim. Who ate that yesterday? Jin Xiong ate that, right? He was tempted by me. The nice ice cream, wow. So nice, so delicious, no? Okay, the ice one is made of fruit, so maybe not so bad. Some of us, we like the cream type, right? The cream, and then got the chocolate, and then Wow, so nice. And then you know that, and then you know that, you know, you can only eat a certain amount of cream a day, but you have this kind of craving. And then we crave so much. In the end, wow, listen to my desires of my body, lah. And then I go and eat the ice cream. True? Servant to our bodies, many of us. Or see a particular thing that we like very much, like clothes or fashion. Then we serve our body. We are enslaved by our body. Whatever is our fleshly lust, we fall for it. For Christian, you shouldn't be that way. Now, I'm not asking you, please don't eat ice cream. Okay, go ahead, eat ice cream. So long as it's within controllable limits, you know how what your body can take, okay, by all means, go and eat, right? Unless, of course, you are like Mattathias, he's called to be a soccer player. He has a CCA, that is his particular calling, please don't go and eat your ice cream, okay? You must control, eat in moderation. Okay, but for all of us, as whatever we have is permissible, just eat, but make sure you don't be a slave to your body. And in this particular case, right, it deals very much with the fleshly lust, isn't it? Keep your body under subjection. Be in control of your body. In other words, self-control. Temperate. If there are certain things that we become addicted to it and is hindering our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, is stumbling people around us, please stop immediately. Control. Apostle Paul also applied the same principle to himself. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway here has the understanding of being unapproved. Unapproved. Now, here, sometimes people will use this verse with regards to salvation. But if you look at the context, it is not to do with salvation. It has very much to do with the calling of the Apostle Paul. If I do not have self-control in my life, what will happen is this. Even though I may be preaching the gospel, but in the ministry, many things that I do will be found not pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be rejected. And that is the thing I do not want to hear. I do not want the Lord to find the things that I do displeasing unto Him, an abomination unto Him. I've been called to give a good account. I've been called to occupy till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. I've been called to redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, I must make sure that I must keep my body under control, that my body is used for the good of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not for evil. I must have self-control. And we know that as Christians, we can have that self-control. Why? Because the Holy Spirit indwells within us and grants us the grace to be able to have that self-control. Very often we do not have. It's because we do not even want to walk in the Spirit. That's the problem. Very often we do not have self-control because we forget that we are called, right? We are given a particular calling, we are given a particular commission by God to serve in a certain area. And then we forget. And then we live callously. All the self-control goes out the window. Learn from the Apostle Paul. The Corinthians are supposed to learn from the Apostle Paul with regards to all areas of their life, including the area of food. Eating food offered to idols. For us, also the same. What kind of rights and liberties are hindering you in the service of the Lord? What types of things that may be permissible for you to partake in, but is now becoming a hindrance in your walk with Christ? It's becoming an addiction. Make sure you give those things up because you don't want to hinder, you don't want to add a trench in the work of the gospel. You want the gospel to proceed. You want the lives of your brethren to be built up. please exercise self-denial in your life. Please have the heart of a servant, of a slave, just like the Apostle Paul. Help. May the Lord help every one of us to abide by this principle, including the preacher down here, right, that we may all learn to serve the Lord humbly, that his work may progress. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word which you have given to us, and we pray that you will grant us a good understanding of the Holy Scriptures, and also be very quick to obey its teaching. And truly our desire is that we may be of great use unto you in thy work to magnify thy holy name. And so we pray that you'll continue to lead and direct us, to grant us that grace to live a life that is pleasing unto thee. And now as we dismiss from here, Father, we pray that you will grant us the richest blessings of peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in this world we will be faithful witnesses for thee everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.